Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
The naked man has few secrets. A flayed man.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Team.
It's on right now.
Reaching out with both hands, but gotta feel the kick inside.
You bet, we're all fired up on a Friday morning sports chat. Oh, opening weekend of college baseball. We got more softball. I don't even know if we'll get to that. Matt Kuchar can't get out of his own way. Neither can the Pelicans. And we got a dynamic show for you this morning. Good morning, Acadiana. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Less than 36 hours at this time tomorrow. He still won't be married. But in 36 hours from now, she'll be walking down the aisle. If we're on time.
Oh, we'll be on time.
Oh, we will be on time. Listen to that.
Really
listen
hope,
to Cody
really
Schutz.
So.
We will be on time.
Well, it's over when it's over, so I'm trying to get
it's
to the...
It's over when it's over?
I'm talking about the reception.
I thought it's not over when it's over.
No, the reception ends at 9:30. So,
the reception ends at 9:30?
Yeah.
As far as you know.
Well, that's what I was told, at least, yes.
Right,
so,
right, right. We'll make our own music.
I'm trying to
Christopher
get...
Cross ain't coming until 9:45.
They'd probably let us stay if he showed up.
That's right.
So I'm just trying to get to the party as fast as possible this weekend.
That's right. All right. And the party's at the same place as the wedding.
Correct. It's like a 30-yard walk down a sidewalk.
Outstanding. And I have to provide my own?
Beer, wine, and like a jungle juice.
You don't have
juice.
A little bottle of Makers?
You can provide your own.
You can't go to the racetrack and get the little flask?
I mean, I guess I could.
Right.
But
after all I've done for you.
I can't be responsible for what type of... state I'll be in, an hour prior to the wedding itself.
How about before Topgolf?
Well, that's early. Where are you going to be?
That's what I mean.
Where are you going to be?
Well, you don't have to drink it. You just have it for me.
To give it to you.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yes, yes. All right. We got a plethora of guests. Ryan Ballingy will talk golf. Ronnie Rance is actually coming in and doing the game for the Cajuns in Texas tonight with Ben McDonald on Cox. Brody Miller will talk LSU. Danny Davis talking Texas. Nick White talking ULM. They're taking on the Cajuns Saturday night. Mark Zeno, deeply apologize for not making it yesterday, will be here today to talk Georgia, mostly basketball, but a little football as well. Give us your, if you want to get in on the conversation, 706-0111. 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Still having issues trying to talk and type at the same time. Let's see if we can do that. All right, so usually at this point in time, right, I would, give you my, let's talk Zach Hess and LSU and Cajuns, but no, we'll get to that a little bit later. It's the Pelicans. They can't get out of their own way. All right, had a conversation yesterday with these guys who watch the Pelicans and Jake Madison and Mason Ginsburg and all the people who follow the Pelicans. It's not difficult to see how the Pelicans play with or without Anthony Davis. He was playing okay yesterday, 14 points in the first half until he got hurt. Muscle contusion, Cody. He got a banged up shoulder and then he leaves the building. Right? It's not Elvis has left the building. Anthony Davis has left the building. I don't need to be there anymore, as he may ever never play with the Pelicans again. But they come away with a victory. No Anthony Davis. And they come away with a ridiculous win over the Thunder. 11th straight triple-double for Russell Westbrook. Actually shot it pretty well, 18 to 30, although not great from three. They did not shoot it well from three. That's why they lost. Paul George just 3 of 17. Jrue Holiday did a great job on him. And Westbrook was just 4 of 12. But Westbrook with 14 rebounds and 11 assists. He had 44 points. Paul George had 22. Nerlens Noel, of all people, had 22 off of the bench. But Julius Randle, 33 points. Jrue Holiday, who limited Paul George to 28 points. Doesn't sound good, but that's on 29 shots. That's really good. And Paul George came out and said he played well. Jrue Holiday, 32 points. Jahlil Okafor off the bench, 12 points. Etuan Moore off the bench, 15 points. Pelicans win 131-122. Empty building. And, you know, it's gone from, I don't know if you saw this, Cody, it went from the Aints to now, I don't know what you'll call them. What do you want to call them?
The Pelicans.
The Pelicans? Is that it?
I don't know.
That's a great idea. The Pelicans, bags over their heads at the ballgame. That's a great one. Right? That's what I grew up with. Right? When there was no, DirecTV. How often did I see the Saints? How often do you think the Saints were on TV when I was growing up? I mean, I got Bills, Jets, Giants. That was it. I didn't even see Patriots. The only time I saw the Patriots is when they played the Bills and the Jets. The Pelicans. We're going to throw that out there. See if we can get that going. All right. So it's a half empty or half full, however you want to see it, arena. And Anthony Davis leaves at half, 66-63. Pelicans on top of the Thunder. So at that point in time, you're thinking, no Anthony Davis. How are they gonna pull this out? Russell Westbrook is and Paul George and the Thunder have been playing as well as anybody. Tim Legler on the Mickey Mouse Network is like, I can make an argument that Oklahoma City's second best team in the Western Conference, and they'll play Golden State in the Western Conference Finals. The Pelicans, who've had this third quarter bugaboo for like the last 3 years, beat Oklahoma City by 9 in the third quarter. No Anthony Davis. The conversation that I was getting in on Twitter with all these guys is that they play better defense. They play harder without Anthony Davis. With Anthony Davis, they gave up 31 points in the first and 32 points in the second. Without Anthony Davis, they gave up 26 points in the third. They're more fun to watch. They care more. They care about each other more. And this whole thing has to end. We may have seen the last bit of it as Anthony Davis was used by LeBron James, was used by a Rich Paul, was used by Clutch Sports to get this ball rolling. And there's a lot going on here, right? I mean, I finally saw people get on board with what happens if Kyrie doesn't sign with the Celtics. By the way, that's going to happen after the draft. So who knows what happens there? What happens if the Lakers can't get anybody else? What happens if the Knicks say, we're good with Zion Williamson, we'll go with him? If they don't get anybody, I don't know what's going to happen. It may end up being that this was the best offer that they could have gotten, but I certainly don't blame them for waiting. Not at all. It may backfire, but that's going to be playing the results. This is absolutely what they should have done. Now, you finally get, I'm going to say it, Cody, a pissed off Alvin Gentry. All right. He's been deflecting and he's been the only one out there. And we haven't heard from Dell Demps. We haven't heard from Gail Benson. We haven't heard from Mickey Loomis. Alvin Gentry is about as low key guy as you can get. And him and Fletcher Mackerel have gone back and forth. And, Fletcher has actually called for his job. And all of a sudden they started winning. And all of a sudden they're getting along. And that was last year. And they kind of have a respect for each other. And Alvin Gentry's been around a long time, right? He's been around a long time, played in the league, coached in the league. He has been around a long time. He knows how it goes. And he's in an impossible situation. Anthony Davis left without him knowing about it. Let's hear what. Let's hear how Gentry described the situation, Cody.
To tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys, you know, to go through what they've been through. And to be able to come out and be the team of that quality, I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job.
They absolutely did. It's a dumpster fire. Finally, Alvin Gentry goes, you know, he didn't say it is what it is, although he did describe it as what it is. He didn't go with the cliche, it is what it is, meaning I can't do anything about it. But finally, he said, it's a dumpster fire. Right? Anthony Davis has no desire to be out there. He doesn't want to get hurt. He's bailed on his team. He probably feels bad for bailing on his team, which I generally believe. But now he's in an untenable situation. Big word at 6:15 in the morning on a fired up Friday morning sports chat. I must be reading Scott D. Kushner. This is Kush. You know, the team is in an untenable situation. The players, the front office, all of this because LeBron James and Clutch Sports gave you a lower than market value for your one star. Hear how, he was asked, did you know that he left the building?
Don't know if he left the building or not. I have no idea. Then he left the building. I'm happy for the guys that, you know, that played the game and we won.
Right? I mean, what can he do? I don't know. It's usually, I'll tell you this, Cody. Now, the last game, for the first time ever, I kind of saw the UL softball team meeting on the field. And so Jerry Glasgow came right over after they were done and talked to us. You know, he goes into the clubhouse. It could be 15, 20 minutes before we get him. Alvin Gentry's out in about 10 minutes. They're not waiting very long, right? You know, he may undo a tie. He may take a jacket off, maybe put the jacket on, whatever the case is, get a drink and get some stats, and he's out there really quickly. Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, I don't think there's a whole meeting with the team. Those guys are getting dressed and getting out of there. So he may not know that Alvin Gentry's actually left or that Anthony Davis has actually left the building. He may not know. Who knows? Although he probably knew that he wasn't on the bench. He's got, you know, especially after halftime. He's got a whole halftime where, you know, someone had to say, hey, where's Anthony? Although if you listen to this, right, this is like one of those things. I've got no comment except he did the opposite. I'm going to talk about the guys who played, and then, well, he doesn't. Listen to this.
Hey, guys, I'm going to talk about the guys that played. They did a great job. We found a way to win the game. That's what's important.
All right, he grabbed a, I don't know if it was in his hands or he grabbed a stat sheet, he crumpled it all up, and left. So I'm going to talk about the guys who played, and then he didn't. He left. You know, he could have talked about Julius Randle. He could have talked about Drew Holiday. He could have talked about Etuan Moore coming off the bench. Jahlil Okafor filling in the second half. But he's had enough. All right? And they need this All-Star break. We'll see if that muscle contusion has an issue with Anthony Davis. He's got a boo-boo. Muscle contusion. Put some Ben Gay on it and let's go. Although, I would rather have them lose. Right? And how do you figure this one? You see this, Cody? Atlanta beats the Lakers, who's, you know, trying to win. The Knicks, not so much. 18 in a row, Atlanta loses. The Pelicans, you know, trying to lose and they can't. It's bad. I mean, they were, where were they behind that? I mean, was it two games? They had a chance to be tied with the Grizzlies who won. They are, they're now three games behind the Grizzlies. Great. Going in the wrong direction. Going in the wrong direction. Oh, well, we could talk more Pelicans, and we got to talk about this Matt Kuchar situation. Ryan Ballinger will join us 7:17. I mean, talk about just not doing the right thing. How does this help Matt Kuchar? Back after this, 103.7. The Game. All right, we will get to, obviously, the Cajuns and the Tigers. All right, Tiger's already making a switch, and boy, did I learn a lesson yesterday, Cody. Never assume anything, right? I might not have gotten an answer, but just to confirm, hey, Coach, just to, you know, it's opening weekend. We still got Zach, Landon Marceau, and Eric Walker. Yes, yes, and no. Jaden Hill pitching on Sunday. Eric Walker not going to pitch till Wednesday. We'll see how long that lasts. You know, it's not exactly a Wally Pipp type of situation, but, you know, if Jaden Hill mows him down, you know, Eric Walker may not get the spot back. You know, you never know. Paul Maneri is one of those guys that kind of sticks with the hot hand, right? And that's what happened with Mikhail Hilliard last year. I got nobody else. Wasn't Mikhail Hilliard pitching on? Was he pitching on Saturdays last year a little bit? Did he move up to Saturday?
I feel like by the postseason, I feel like that was the thing.
I think he was done by the postseason.
You're right. So towards the end, I guess.
Towards the end, I think he was pitching done, on Saturdays, yeah. All right, so we'll get to that. Excited about it. And, of course, you know, it's opening day, so it's got to rain. You know, Cody says 20%. It seems to be a little bit more on what I'm looking at, but it also says it's supposed to clear up by 6. So it's supposed to rain this afternoon around here. I don't know about Baton Rouge. Usually that's the same thing, but not necessarily the case. 706-0111, 706-0111. If you want to talk a little Pelicans, unbelievable, a win last night. Anthony Davis didn't play the second half and maybe played his last ball game for the Pelicans. I would have it that way. All right. They're more fun to watch without him. They play harder. They play better defense. And the only bad thing that happened yesterday is that they won. They're supposed to lose. Play hard, make it close, and lose. They didn't get the script. All right. Let's talk of this Matt Kuchar thing. It's unbelievable. We've been over this. This is an old story that has now won't die. All right. It won't go away. And whatever crap that Matt Kuchar is getting, he fully deserves. Let's go back. Matt Kuchar won for the first time in 4 years. This is November 8th to the 11th, like 3 months ago in Mexico. $1.3 million, just under $1.3 million. He gets his, he gets a fill-in caddy, who apparently agreed to do the gig for $3,000. All right. The caddy does not have much, lives in a cinder block house, and which doesn't really matter. But here's the problem. All right. If he doesn't take the gig for $3,000, which he desperately needs, and he doesn't have time to negotiate what the deal is, and there probably is a language barrier in there as well, the next guy's going to get it. The next guy's going to get it. So here's flat rate $3,000. And so this is the way it works. If you don't know, it's a flat rate for the 2 days or the weekend. And if there's winnings, if they make the cut, you get a small percentage of that. If they win, it's usually 10%. So Matt Kuchar wins again, $1.296 million. Round up. The caddy should be getting $130,000. All right, so maybe it's a fill-in caddy. He's not doing everything that the other caddy did. I don't know. Whatever the case is, we'll give you half. We'll give you $65,000. We'll give you like 5%. Nope. He gave him $5,000. This is 3 months ago we're talking about. I think this story either came out in December or certainly in January, and now we're back at it. Now we finally got the caddy's point of view. Golf.com did a story on it, and he's like, I'm just looking for $50,000. He doesn't even want 5%. He was offered by the agent, I think Mark Steinberg, he was offered another $15,000, which sounds like a lot of money. He said, no. Sorry, you either pay me what I should get or just go away, which shows you that he actually has more values than Matt Kuchar, who's made almost $50 million. All right. Now, if you want to say a deal is a deal, Matt Kuchar is, again, negotiating from a stance of strength. Not the caddy.
Right. All the leverage is with Kuchar.
All the leverage is with Kuchar. All right. And what Matt, see, this is not what the story should be about 3 months later. All right. This should be a happy ending. Now, there's national press, right? The national writers, USA Today, you know, golf.com, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network.com, you know, all those guys. There's a, you know, probably two handful of national media and international media that follow the golf all around. But here's the thing. There's new media every single week in the PGA, right? And they don't necessarily go to small towns. They're in L.A. now, all right? They're going to end up in New York later. They're going to be in Dallas somewhere along the way. They're going to be in Chicago along the way. This is going to come up every single time. And unless he's not winning or in contention, he won't face the media. The story should have been, Cody, Matt Kuchar wrong to right. We talk about it all the time here. Under promise, over deliver. Promised him three, gave him five, thought that was the end of it. And he's still standing by that. Made a deal. I held up my end of the bargain. Don't you think the agent somewhere along the way said something? What about his wife? Doesn't he have, somewhere along the way, he's got a PR person. You know, I don't know how many commercials he in. I thought I heard he's in Skechers. I bet you that goes away. You know, the Cooch chant is going to start being boo. It's soon going to start. He's in a no-win situation. The story should have been Matt Kuchar righting a wrong. Just, I mean, you know, I don't even care how much of an ego he's got. You know, you're not going to find someone with more of an ego, and he's an easygoing guy, than Paul Maneri, right? Isn't he like second or third in active wins in college baseball? Second or third. It's unbelievable. And yet, he was man enough to say, you know what, Chris Reed, I made a mistake. I screwed up. Please come back. Chris Reed's going to, of course, say yes, but, you know. It wasn't like Paul Maneri go, hey, Chris, I got an open spot. You want it? He admitted I made a mistake. Matt Kuchar could have said, you know what, I screwed up. I made a mistake. I went down there, talked to him. I bought him the laundromat that he wanted, right? We set him up with a laundromat. And then Matt Kuchar comes out as the hero. As the absolute hero.
Right, doing something like that, that's a teach a man to fish type of thing.
Yes.
Instead of buying him a meal, that's that specific example.
Well, okay.
Well, just buying a man a laundromat is, if you give him $130,000,
right,
that'll last a long time.
Well, no, he wants the laundromat. He was going to buy a laundromat with like $50,000.
Right, because right. He's trying to, yeah.
Right.
He wants, you know, a sustainable income.
Right. So, you know, if that, you know, think about it, you know, or maybe he invests in the laundromat, even that. I'll take a piece of the laundromat. I'll float you $250,000 and I'll take 10% or whatever it is. You know, he could look at it as a business investment. If there was a wrong thing to do, Matt Kuchar did it, and he's still doing it. He's going to be bothered all year long with this. We'll see how well he's done. I think has he won twice here this time? Or he's won just the one time? He's won twice in this season. Just won at the Sony. We'll see if he wins again. We'll see. All right. Oh, we're late. All right. Sorry, Cody. Back after this, we'll get to the Cajuns and the Tigers on Acadiana Sports Station 107. The game.
Last time the Knicks had won a game, they took care of business. So Thursday night in Atlanta, 106-91. They now have 11 wins. That's tied with Phoenix for the fewest in the league. Russell Westbrook's 11th straight triple-double goes unrewarded. OKC loses in the Big Easy. Anthony Davis goes down with a bruised shoulder for the Pelicans. On the frozen floor, Alex Ovechkin with his 39th. Washington routes San Jose. Vancouver, the Islanders, and Tampa Bay victorious. Dubs coach Steve Kerr fined 25 grand for verbally abusing the refs in a recent loss in Portland. And Colin Kaepernick and Tim Tebow reportedly both offered to play in the new AAF. Kaepernick said he wants to be paid a minimum of at least $20 million. Tebow said, no thanks, he's focusing on baseball. You're listening to NBC Sports Radio.
I used to have a sweet tooth. Had it removed when I was a kid. So what do I crave instead of chocolate? A big red box from Grainger. Grainger satisfies my craving for great customer service with 24/7 support, effortless ordering, and same-day pickup or next-day delivery options. No busy signals, no cavities. I love Grainger. You know why? Because when it comes to reliable product and technical support, Grainger's got your back. Call or click Grainger.com to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Napa, no.
Going to Mike 2. All right. Life's all about making the adjustments.
Omaha.
Christian Hagenberg. Monday.
Blue poncho.
Right. Yacht Rock. All
right. That would be the sports show, right?
Right.
Christopher Cross, right. Sailing, Arthur Steve.
Right.
You got to get the call back from the center. Right. You know.
Brandy.
Right. You know the center's got it. He hits you back with, you know, looking glass. That's great.
All right, we will talk Cajuns and LSU. But I do want to talk about this happened yesterday. And I take it for granted. All right. We handed out, went around all day. Well, not all day, but the morning. All right. Handing out four different prizes for all the stations. Right. Z1059, Mustang, 106.3, and here, obviously, Sports Chat.
I like how you went in order of the hallway.
Well, I'm just trying
I just thought that was great.
Mind,
that was great.
And we went to Lorville. I got no idea where we are, right? I mean, you know, we get off the beaten path, and I are we going to end up in the Gulf? Where are we going? So we end up all the way down in past New Iberia, you know, towards Lorville, and then we make our way back. And we're hanging out with Cupid, right? Cupid doesn't get anything for this. A little publicity, maybe a little social media. He's big on that, all right? He's driving a new Corvette, so, you know. A couple of bucks ain't going to make a difference to him. But that doesn't matter. It's his time, and he's done this for the last 3 years. And it's the little things. So I'll put up a post later today. It's all about the little things. You know, and we had a, we delivered in Youngsville, I think. Or Broussard, I guess. Maybe Youngsville. Or maybe Broussard. I don't know where it was. Mesh's Donuts.
Right, they all butt right. up against each other,
right,
basically.
Right, right. So there was a Mesh's Donuts, and the winner wanted to do a little shuffle. So they did. Right, little Cupid shuffle. Right in the store.
Right. I would have asked as well.
Right. We did a little videotape, and you should see the smile on her face, right?
Right.
Also happened, I don't know if we did the shuffle, but when we picked up the flowers from Bro's Flower Shop right here in Carrico, they were thrilled. They didn't even know he was coming.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, they're going to be talking about that forever, right? It's a little thing.
I saw the video you posted. That was...
Yeah.
That looked like... I mean, she was stunned.
And wouldn't you know it, the mom, they know somebody that he worked with.
How about that?
Her brother, I think, knows, worked with Cupid. You should see his eyes light up, right?
Right. I saw, and then the her son, who I assume is the guy who won the prize.
Right, right,
he's,
right.
You know, videoing on the other side, and the smile on his face.
Yes.
When you look in the background, him smiling the whole time. It was just a 30-second video to put a smile on your face.
It's the small things, right? It's like finding $5 in your pocket, right? What is $5? $5 does it, but what is that even going to get? That didn't even get me a Maker's Mark and diet.
Nacho fry box from Taco Bell.
Outstanding. The $4 thing from Wendy's. But
hey, that's
about it, right?
Joke though,
right?
Sorry.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're right. But it's not gonna. It doesn't really change my life in any. It may help me out for about 10 minutes, but not gonna change my life. But it's like, you know, you're walking through, you know, the dome at the Saints, and someone says, "Hey, listen to your show all the time," right? You're walking out of the Publix. Publix was our pit stop. You know, after 2 hours, you got. Twice in a row, we stopped in Publix for a pit stop on the way to the dome, and you come out of the Publix. Hey, Schultz, how you doing? Right? This is small stuff, right? Doesn't change my life, but it makes you feel good for 2 minutes, right? So I saw, I guess I follow him because he's a Syracuse safety, Shamarco Thomas, right? He plays for Denver. I didn't even know he played for Denver, right? But somehow, someone had set up, and it's the guy filming it, I guess. So I don't know if he's connected to the guy who got the football or Shamarco Thomas or whatever. But Shamarco Thomas gives an autographed, fully autographed football, Denver Bronco football, to this older guy, right? The older guy breaks down. They're hugging it out 3 times, and the guy's eyes welling up, right? It's the little things, right? It's not going to, you know, doesn't cost Shamarco Thomas anything but time and probably picking up a football, which they probably signed anyways.
Right.
So it doesn't take him any time. And then last night, I saw this. Well, here you go. Marcus Orsad, here you go. That $5 can get you a double order of breadsticks from Pizza Hut. he ain't lying.
It's like the time when I was coaching Kaysen's little soccer team.
Right.
And one of the dads on the soccer team, one of the little girls, he commented on the Saints hat I was wearing. And the conversation led to the fact that he listens to Sports Chat.
Right.
And he was like, so wait, like you're Cody. And I was like,
right.
That's me. And
right.
For the rest of that day, I was like, can you believe somebody out of nowhere, like, you know,
exactly.
Connect the dots.
It makes you feel good for a few minutes. It doesn't change your life, but it makes you feel good.
Right.
It's a little thing.
I haven't thought about it since then until you brought this up, but that day was awesome.
You know, all our hockey talk has gone back to Pittsburgh, so we rarely talk hockey, right?
Right.
So, but this somehow ended up, I don't know if I follow the Maple Leafs or someone else I know follows it, but it ends up in my timeline, right? So a little girl with, you know, glass seating, if you will, right up next to the board seating. So she's not struggling to begin with. But nonetheless, that doesn't matter. She doesn't know that.
Right.
Right? She's got a picture. She got a little sign there that says, "Hey, Mitch Marner, be my Valentine." I have no idea who that is, right?
Me either.
Mitch flips her a puck, right? And then takes a picture with her, right?
Right.
Poses with her. I mean, you should see this little girl's face. Never going to forget that for as long as she lives.
Right.
It's the little things. Right. And meanwhile, Matt Kuchar, you know, can't give something real. You know, so we'll post a little. We'll post a little blog about it's the little things and how, you know, when Paul Maneri is telling Todd Peterson, you know, he became an overnight sensation with the, you know, on campus and everywhere with hitting that double and getting the win and going those five innings. And it's just the little things. It's the little, I know we're all in this. I mean, here's Kevin Mawai posting this, right? Kevin Mawai, love my hometown, city of Leesville, at Wampus Cats, wagon master. They got a big sign. They obviously just printed it up. Congratulations, Kevin Mawai, Wampus Cats of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, right? What did it cost? $100, right? Made a banner. What is it? 3x8, 3x10. Makes Kevin Mawai feel great, right? He's back. When was the last time he was in Leesville, right?
Right.
Got a banner right there. Pretty neat.
And even
right?
An example,
it's all about
like
the
that.
Little thing.
When the softball team at my old high school, right, they won the softball state championship 2 years in a row in like
sure.
10 or 11, something like that. And when you're driving through the middle of New Roads, right under the sign that, you know, says Calicai Point Capi with a little arrow that way telling you to turn down this road to get to the school, on the same pole under that sign, they just put two smaller signs that says, you know, Catholic High Softball, 2010 state champs,
right.
Catholic High Softball, 2011. And they're a little smaller than speed limit signs, just on that pole, though, but you see them when you drive through town, and every single girl on either one of those teams, or any girl that's played softball at Catholic, when you drive by there,
right,
every time you get that just small sense of pride type of thing. And I mean,
it works
all the way from the NFL Hall of Fame or the Pro Football Hall of Fame to a 1A state championship in softball.
It's just the little thing. It's all about the little things. All right, here's the bigger things. LSU baseball and Cajuns baseball. All right, and well, what are we expecting? We got two big starters, right? I mean, we got two Friday night guys. I guess I can go back and find out how many days it is, but it's got to be close to, well, I don't know, about 640 days since Gunnar Leje hasn't pitched. All right, what are we expecting out of him? All right, if you get five good innings, that'll be great. He didn't throw that hard to begin with, but you want to see that pinpoint control and you want to see the changeup. All right. We heard Paul Maneri did tell us, you know, for Team USA, Zach Hess rarely got to a three ball count or a three pitch at bat. That's absolutely what I want to see with Zach Hess. He has to be more efficient. Now, he's only going about four innings today. Let me see if they announced it yesterday. How many pitches? He's not getting anywhere near 75 pitches. Marceau and Hill will both be on an 80 to 90 pitch count. Marceau going Saturday, Jaden Hill now going on Sunday. Somewhere in here it's got to say how long Hess and Walker are on limited pitch counts. All right. Actually, much more concerned with Walker than than Hess. All right, but, you know, it's, you know, Hess has got it to be more efficient, right? He can't go 100 pitches in six innings. That's just not going to cut it anymore, right? So he needs to be the Friday night starter because the way college works out, and you guys know this better than me, you know, if he's only going five innings or six innings, and this is why Paul Maneri decided to move Eric Walker to Wednesday so it could be more Johnny Holstaff, is that you can't blow out the bullpen on a Friday night. You know, you can't have a starter going four or five innings on a regular basis on a Friday night. You know, if that happens a couple of outings here to begin with because he's on a pitch count, that's one thing. But when you're playing Florida, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, that ain't going to cut it, right? And it's certainly not going to cut it when everybody's tired in June. All right. He's got to be the lead dog. You know, he's got to be the Aaron Nola, the Alex Lang. Like Cody said, even Jared Poche. Somewhere along the way, you know, he's got to step it up. I mean, so he's got to have a 3 ERA. You'd like it to be less than that, but I'm pretty sure it was 5 last year. And so we got to be more efficient. Which, oddly enough, Alex Lang had situations with that his sophomore and junior years. He was just, you know, looking for strikeouts. And you got it somewhere along the way, you got to pitch to contact. You got to make it a good enough pitch that they swing, but a good enough pitch where they get out. 706-0111, 706-0111. We got it going. Hashtag it's the little things. Here you go, Cody. Chico, when Dave reads my text on air and Cody gives me a shout-out. You know what we say to that? Boom sauce.
Shout-out, Chico. Happy Friday to you. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, less than 36 hours. Boy, we've already done three shots by now, Cody. It's 6:46. By 6:46 tomorrow night, you know, three sheets to the wind.
6:40. I mean, you're not wrong. You're right. That's right about the right time, Dave. You're not wrong. You're right.
I think one flask will have the Makers and the other flask will have the Fireball.
Oh. All
right.
That's a party. Party in my pocket. I wish I could say I walked right into that one, but I knew good and well what I was saying.
You have too many Fireballs. You know what? I'm not even going there. Yeah.
That's just an Alan Michael and Raymond Parch segment with George Faust. Fireballs, that's all that is.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just going to go there. You have too many Fireballs, there ain't going to be no party in your pocket. That's going to be the problem. You're going to be passed out. You're going to be passed out.
You're right. It's not phrasing this time. It's pacing this time.
I'm trying to work a deal with LaBerge, so we'll see. Wilcox. My boy Wilcox hooks me up.
Right. Someone is trying to work a deal.
Correct. Of course, I'm waiting until, you know, the last minute to deal with this. Or else everyone else will be doing the drinking and I won't be because we'll have to come home.
No. It's a long Uber ride, Dave.
From Lafayette, it is, right? But it's even a long Uber ride from LaBerge, right?
I would say it's, long, right. Probably the longest one I've taken.
Right. Have you taken that?
The longest Uber ride I've probably been is 15 minutes, maybe. You know, I don't Uber far, but I don't Uber often.
Syracuse were far Uber rides, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Farther than this, but oh well. Right. That's much better than, you know, the alternative. All right, we'll talk more Cajuns, more LSU baseball after this. We do have Ryan Ballinger going to talk some golf. We'll talk to him about the Matt Kuchar situation, but what is the do-over? Whoever heard of the do-over in golf? There's no do-over in golf. They had one yesterday. Back after this on a fired up Friday morning sports chat on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Fired up, Rod. More sports chat. 706-0111. 706-0111. Lots of topics on the table. We got a good one here now for you. All right. We'll talk more Cajuns and LSU a little bit later. But did you see this story, Cody? And you could see this one coming, right? We should have seen this one coming. It's too easy. Because even I've figured this one out, right? I don't know how they do ratings. I really don't. In terms of high school football players. But it's not difficult to figure it out. Because you can see when the Cajuns offer somebody their 2-3-star guy, if they weren't offered before, and then all of a sudden Bama or A&M or LSU come in and they're a 4- or 5-star guy. Only based on the idea that why would Alabama or LSU or A&M go after a 3-star guy? .247 got catfished, Cody. Someone made up a recruit.
And how many stars did this
three-star
recruit?
6'6", 315-pound offensive tackle from Grace Christian High School in Knoxville.
Name is Tanti Mayow.
No, Blake Kieringer. Got a picture on it and everything, right? Made a Twitter feed. Got it going and everything. Blake holds offers from Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, among others, and has been rated a 3-star on 247 and Rivals.
Well, obviously,
doesn't exist.
They're lying about the offers, and that duped 247 enough to... Wow, bummer. Yeah.
He also doesn't exist. Some students made a fake Twitter account of this player, and without posting any film, tweeted out that they had offers from Alabama, etc. And without seeing any film or evaluating at all, Rivals put him out there on the site as a 3-star with a 5.5 rating and gave him a full article on his evaluation without seeing him play. 247's composite found it and posted it on their composite but not on their top 247 rankings. Rivals has not come out and said anything about this. Basically, the recruiting sites got catfished. Why couldn't we see this one coming?
That's a bad look.
Right? I mean, again, I don't know anything about this. I don't know how you... you know, how do you determine what Cobb is from Kaplan when he is a mountain of a man playing against relatively normal-sized human beings?
Right.
He is not a normal-sized human being. You know, he outweighs most of the offensive linemen by at least 60 or 70 pounds, if not, like, you know, 100 pounds. They don't play a lot of guys that are 250 across that line. Some of them are. Some may be 270, but a lot of them are 220, 230. He's pushing 315, maybe. And he's like 6'5". You know, if you got a, if you're playing against a 6-foot offensive lineman in 3A, you're most likely in the playoffs. A lot of teams don't have that. North Vermillion doesn't have that, right? They just don't have it. They're not that big. So I went to, I paid attention. Cobb had no ratings, none, none whatsoever. Gets offered by the Cajuns, accepts by the Cajuns. All of a sudden, he's a 3-star. I mean, that's kind of like, how do you, now it translated better because you can see his athleticism, period, right, Zion Williamson. But, you know, a lot of these guys, a lot of these 6'10 guys out of high school who dominate in high school can't necessarily dominate in college basketball and pro basketball, but they dominate in high school basketball because they're lucky if they're playing against somebody who's 6'5". I mean, the guys in Syracuse, they really can't hold on to a basketball. It really is pathetic. They actually ran some good screen and rolls the other night, but the guy dribbling the ball would not pass it to the big guy because he knows he's going to lose it. So you can't tell, especially in basketball, when you have somebody who is athletically more gifted than the kids are playing, how good they actually are. And now these recruiting sites got burned. It's a great idea just to have some fun, right? The kids smarter than the sites. I mean, I'm surprised this hasn't happened more than once already.
You at least figure out how to work the system.
Right.
Know, figure out
right,
what,
right,
what
right.
they're looking for.
I mean, that's almost like, yeah. That's almost as good as me having Jerry Tarkanian turning down a job that he was never offered. Want me to tell that story next?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I got it going. All right. I was they say. They say I, that was me. We'll do that next. We'll talk Cajuns and LSU as well. We'll talk golf with Ryan Ballinger, 717. Ronnie Rantz, Cajuns as well. Brody Miller, LSU. Lots more to do on a fired up Friday morning sports chat. 1037. The game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game. Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets.
And now. Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Going day to day. I never knew the difference. I never cared either way. Looking for a reason. Searching for a sign. Reaching out with both hands, but gotta feel the kick inside.
Take two. We're all fired up. Microphone died. That hasn't happened yet. All right.
I noticed
that's really our only issue, right? I can get no. I got 18 guests coming on here. They could all not come on here. We'll be okay, right?
Yeah.
The microphone needs to work,
right? I noticed,
or else we're going to your buddy Moose and the Taz. Right.
Like I don't know. A couple of minutes before it like officially went out on you, it did like one of those like robot noise things. Like when you were talking, it changed your exactly.
Right, so there's a
so something was happening there, and then it just went out.
Can you email the powers to be to say that?
I can.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a fired up Friday morning sports chat. Again, we do have upteen guests. Ryan Ballinger coming up next. 7:17 to talk golf. I want to do mostly about the Genesis Open, but of course Kuchar will be there as well. Ronnie Rance is doing the game tonight. Cajuns and the Longhorns for Cox TV. He'll join us 7:32. Brody Miller will talk LSU. Danny Davis from the Austin Statesman will preview UL and Texas as well. All right, from the Texas point of view, Nick White gets us going for ULM and UL. And Mark Zeno will join us to talk a little Georgia basketball, preview Georgia and LSU. So we got you covered. We got you covered. 706-0111, 706-0111, the Arco Equipment Hotline. We are live in the 237 Roof Studios. Simulcasting KXKW Channel 32.1, LUS Fiber Cable 133, and in HD, if you so dare, 1133. I think the Twitter feed is working as well. And I did reply to Jake Madison, Cody, at Nola Jake. From the Aints to the Pelicans. Hat tip, Cody Shoots. All right. All right, quickly. Story about how I got Jerry Tarkanian to comment on a job that he was never offered. Is that catfishing? How does that work? I was in Wichita, Kansas, and I always wanted to know who the sources are, right? They say. I didn't know who they were. Who's they? So I decided I'm becoming they. So technically, I guess I catfished both the media in Vegas and in Wichita, Kansas. And I don't know if the media knew I was in Wichita, Kansas. It was still probably before the season. So I called the newspapers in Wichita and in Vegas. And I called TV stations in both Vegas and in Wichita. Any truth to the rumor that Jerry Tarkanian is going to be the Wichita State Shocker's new head coach? I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I'm not sure, but that's what I'm hearing type of deal. Any truth to the rumor? It's just rumor. It got into Wichita Eagle. Jerry Tarkanian is turning down the Wichita State job, a job that he's never been offered. Or more along the lines is Jerry Tarkanian is not going to be the next Wichita State head coach. Is more along the lines of what it was. How'd that happen? You get some people to follow a lead that absolutely has no truth in it, and we got it in the newspaper. Now, I will say, and this is just before he did come down with cancer, Cody, about a month before it was announced he came down with cancer, Jim Valvano was on the campus. Because our ticket director was the ticket director for the Wichita State Shockers, I think, basketball arena before they became good. And he did tell us that Jim Valvano was on campus. He turned the job down. I don't know if you find that on YouTube, but it was really about a month before he came down with cancer in 1992. And then I think by 93, and shortly thereafter, he had passed away. But he was absolutely on campus. That was a true rumor. We had that rumor because that was confirmed that he was there. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. You want to talk golf? You want to talk about the little things? We talked about that, right? We got yesterday we had Cupid, picking up the flowers at the flower shop here in Carancro. They loved it. He handed out flowers to all our winners, and everybody was happy to see him, right? Just the little things. We got Shamarco Thomas from the Denver Broncos handing an autographed football to an older gentleman. He starts crying. We got a little girl taking a picture with a Toronto Maple Leaf. Makes her whole day, if not year, if not life. She's going to remember that forever. Not to mention the video is going to go viral. All right, so it's all about the little things. All right, let's talk some Raging Cajuns. All right, what do we want to see from the Raging Cajuns tonight? First of all, we want to see the bats. All right, I want to see Todd Lott swing the bat. We've been promised that he was going to be a huge recruit, and injury, confidence, whatever the case is, it has not manifested here in Lafayette. We need to see that. All right. Let's see who steps up on Sunday. All right. Thought maybe it's going to be Austin Perrin to get the start, but you got Brock Batty. You got Jack Burke. You got the TCU transfer Dalton. All right. They can go Johnny Holstaff, but again, I think that's once real quick in the season to start that. What does that mean to you when that happens? Is it injuries, Cody? Or is it, I don't have enough confidence in somebody to get me through five innings. To me, that's what it is right now.
Early in the season, maybe.
That's what it seems to me, that I don't have the confidence in one guy to get me through five innings.
Now, for now, I think.
For now.
Somebody's got to step up and earn that confidence, earn that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Which is, I mean, good for a head coach or a manager, whatever, in an instance, to give guys an opportunity to do that. I mean,
right.
On one hand, you've got Paul Maneri, who's coming in with Zach Hess, who, even though, you know, this weekend specifically, he may be on a sort of a pitch count.
Sure.
But conference play, I mean, Zach Hess, we need you ripping and roaring and throwing seven, eight innings on a
at
Friday
least seven.
Night. Yeah.
I want to see him go seven innings. All right. I mean, I'm not talking about if he's got a bad outing and he comes out in three to third. That's not what
happens.
Now, I'm talking about, you know, he's got a 5-1 lead and still can't get managed to get through six or seven.
If he's averaging five and a two-thirds innings, you know, per start, that's bad. That's not going to be good. But then on the other hand, you've got, you know, another solidified starter. And so, it's, I don't know, are they similar situations?
What's that?
Or UL and LSU?
In terms of?
The pitching rotation for the weekend.
I don't think so. I think Maneri is protecting. First of all, no. I think right now LSU has much more depth to the pitching, right?
Yeah, there are more names, I guess.
Much more, right? He's just going to throw. I mean,
you got your Saturday guy by the end of last season, Mikael Hilliard. Injury, I get it, but he's not even in the week.
Well, he's probably going to be a seventh, eighth inning guy.
Right.
Maybe get a spot start here and there. He's still starting to come back. But, I mean, they got, you know, this Jaden Hill kid, let's be honest. If he's everything that he's supposed to be, he could Wally Pip Eric Walker out of the weekend of rotation, which tells you how much. You know, which tells you how much depth that they have, right?
Right
now, UL short on a Sunday starter. Who's pitching during the week?
So if I may, if you'll allow me to get just so far incredibly ahead of myself here with this baseball season,
right?
Let's if we're thinking regional time.
Well, who knows what it's going to be then?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. But like, if I can get way ahead of myself,
okay.
Regional time for LSU. It seems like maybe they might actually have that guy, or even Omaha have that extra starter, or that second even extra starter, or at least someone who's had starting experience. If Jaden Hill and Marceau, and then you got Cole
Henry, right? I mean, Eric Walker's not going Sunday; he's not going Tuesday. They're waiting till Wednesday. That's how much depth they have. All right,
and they play Southeastern. Or no, that's UL.
Tuesday, or
is that LSU that plays?
That's LSU.
And Southeastern's always got a good ball club. That's a game you got to go in and play,
right?
Or you're going to lose.
Well, I mean, that's always what it is, right? LSU gets everyone's, you know, as Bob Marlin likes to say, all the other schools give LSU their best shot, right? That's the one time, especially with the conference that you play in, whether it's Southeastern, McNeese, or Tulane, you know, everybody gets up on those weekday games to play LSU. Period. I mean, that comes with the territory, right?
You're getting a guy, a team's Friday night guy on Tuesday evening for three innings.
You very well might. That's right. You know, and so when Paul Maneri goes, look, these guys are trying to win all out. I'm trying to set us up for victory later on, right? That's Paul Maneri doesn't have to worry about RPI.
Not on the week. Not a case.
He has that problem solved. Right? UL has to worry about RPI. Wasn't it St. Francis? That was the reason they weren't in the
No, St. Oh, what was that? Weren't they dead last? They hadn't won a game in they were 0 in a whole bunch, and UL swept them three games by like 10 runs plus each game. It wasn't St. Peter's or nothing.
What was that?
The college.
Oh, it was St. Peter's. They swept them, but they were like the worst team in the nation.
They were dead last.
They didn't win until last year.
Right, they were like 0-40 something or something like that.
They didn't win until the end of last year. That crushed the Cajuns' chances for getting in. So when you're playing a Texas, when you're playing even a Sam Houston State, when you're playing a Maryland, got to win. LSU doesn't have that issue, and that's always been the issue since I've been here. Oh, no, they're losing midweek ball games. Doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. All right, we'll be back. We'll talk golf. Ryan Ballingy coming back here on Acadiana Sports Station 107. The game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. We're going to talk golf here. Trying to effort Ryan Ballingy. But looking for, you know, the big difference between Cajuns baseball and LSU baseball is that the depth in pitching. Now, I guess UL has a bunch of freshmen as well, but we haven't heard what that situation is. All right, Tony Robichaux, a little closer to the vest. All right. But again, LSU's already got, what do you say, Cole and Hill. Walker's not going to Wednesday. Now, if Walker turns into Eric Walker, what he was before, he'll find himself back on. He'll find himself back in the weekend. But until that time, we'll see how it goes. I mean, he could easily be Wally Pipped. He could be Wally Pipped. 706-0111. 706-0111 is the efforting for Ryan Ballingy. I did say the right time, didn't I? Let's see here. 8:17 Eastern time. Yeah. All right. Anyways, we'll see if he calls. We'll move on a little bit. Again, Pelicans with an incredible win over the Thunder. All right. Paul George has a lot of points, but on 28 points, but on 29 shots, 11 to 29. Jrue Holiday did a heck of a job on him, and Paul George said so. He's like, not a lot of guys play the kind of defense that Jrue Holiday does. I'm impressed with it and respect it. All right. Russell Westbrook, another triple-double, but that's not the story of the game. A, the story of the game is the Pelicans win, 131-123. I think I had that score right. And Anthony Davis, muscle contusion, and left 131-122. Muscle contusion, so nothing wrong with him, and you know, he leaves the building. Anthony Davis left the building. Right? Brutal. Brutal. And then the Pelicans win without him. They beat one of the hottest teams going. So let's get this straight. The Pelicans, without Anthony Davis, beat Houston and Oklahoma City. Maybe I should be rooting for Anthony Davis to play so they lose, because they seem to do that more often. All right? Maybe it's finally hit me. Have Anthony Davis play. The team plays awful and they lose, because that's what I want. I want them to tank. All right. All right, we found him. Efforts coming through. Ryan Ballingy from GolfNewsNet.com. He's on the Arco Equipment hotline. Ryan, good morning. How you been, man?
Not bad. Just dropping my kids off at school and getting through the line that is right. Friday morning.
I bet you are. Okay, we got to talk about this. This is a three-month-old story. This story should have gone away 2.5 months ago, and the story that we got yesterday should have been Matt Kuchar rights a wrong, buys the caddy the laundromat. Instead, we got Matt Kuchar standing up there saying a deal is a deal. What's your take on all this mess?
This is going to be a textbook. This is going to be in a business or philanthropy textbook someday of what not to do, how to not handle a situation.
Right.
This was bungled every which way, from what Matt Kuchar offered El Tucan to pay him, from what he did after they won the golf tournament together, to how he handled every opportunity to speak about it since. It has just been an absolute disaster for Matt Kuchar and his marketability.
But I would also ask, there's got to be somebody around Matt Kuchar. Wife, kids, manager, someone for the manager has to be doing PR for him. This is going to cost him much more money in PR than it ever would out of his pocket. Someone had to be telling him, Matt, you got to do the right thing. Someone's got to be telling him. Mark Steinberg can't be saying, give him $15,000 and it's over, right? That can't be what the agent is telling him.
I can't imagine that was it, but and when all of this kind of started to come back this week when El Tucan was speaking publicly for the first time, some folks were saying, well, why didn't Steinberg step in? And I said, pump the brakes. Maybe he did step in and say something. And then we find out later from Kuchar, it was Steinberg who suggested the $15,000 additional payment as a way of, I guess, trying to smooth things over. But, yeah, even still, we don't know if Steinberg came back and said, dude, just cut the check, make it 50 grand or 100 grand or whatever it was.
Right.
And Kuchar just came back and said, you know, I'll give him 15, offer him that. We don't know that, but even still, I think even with people who would have told him this is the right thing to do, he still would have come back and said, well, I did what I said I was going to do, and that's the end
of it. Yeah, I mean, the way this could be fixed, the PR person would be in there, Matt, we're going to fix this, and you're going to come out ahead. You're going to go buy the laundromat for the guy. You're going to fly down there, maybe even invest in the laundromat. You can take some of the profits. It's a business decision. Everybody goes home happy. Instead, I mean, how many people follow, how much media nationally follows this around? Because if he's in contention again, and he's already won twice, so he's playing well, every time he's in front of the new media, because they go from L.A. to Dallas to New York to Houston, right, to Jacksonville to Chicago, wherever they are, every single time he's at a new event, they're going to ask him about it. If he's in contention, every single time, he's going to be harassed about this forever.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he's won twice already this year. He was in contention to win in Phoenix, so he was looking at a third win in the season. It's not like he's going to stop playing well. I mean, I guess this could affect him well enough that he might not play well the rest of the way, but that seems kind of unlikely. And next week, he's literally going to Mexico City to play golf. Right. I mean, the WGC is next week in Mexico. He's going to have to field these questions in English and Spanish, and as long as he keeps bungling what the answer is, he's just going to look worse and worse. And like you said, it's going to cost him way more than that $50,000 check would have cost him.
Right.
It's going to cost him way more than $130,000 check would have cost
him. No doubt. You know, we'll see if he fixes it between now and the WGC. Talking to Ryan Ballagy from GolfNewsNet.com. What is up with the golf and the do-over? I have never heard. There's no do-overs in golf. They did it over. What's going on?
This was very rare. Yesterday, they decided to start the Genesis Open, knowing the weather forecast called for some pretty nasty rain, some pretty ugly conditions by early morning, by mid-morning at worst. And they sent the guys off, and they got, 10 groups off, 5 off of the first tee, 5 off the 10th tee, let them each play. No one got through more than 2 holes. And, of course, the rain came as predicted. The weatherman was right. And then they had to halt play. And with a 2-hour weather delay, the golf course had become waterlogged. Apparently it drains very well, but nonetheless, the PGA Tour decided, you know what, our bad for starting the tournament in the first place. We're going to reset everything. So for the first time in 6 years, they wiped out scores. The last time they did this was in 2013, third round of the Deutsche Bank Championship. Now it doesn't exist anymore, but was in the Boston area. And weather just kind of wiped out scores because they just rained out the entire day. So they just decided to start the whole thing over. The next day.
How do guys who have started to play feel about that?
I imagine that it wasn't that big of an uproar because so many players hadn't played that much golf.
Right.
You know, you played at most 2 holes.
Right.
And the score range was 1-under to 1-over. So you were basically within 2 shots of the lead if you played your 1 hole poorly. Now, had they gotten more guys out and more holes in, I don't think they would have been able to restart the tournament. But the thing to me about this entire situation is people bet on this now, legally. And so guys were betting on matchups, on total tournament scores, on birdies and eagles, all that stuff. All that just got wiped out because the PGA Tour decided to start an event. They're going to have to start thinking about that in the future, especially with the wave of sports gambling legalizing throughout the country.
Right. I guess they're betting on the rain and the weather, and so it's just started again. All right. Jordan Spieth, I guess he was in last week's Pebble Beach Open through midway Saturday and fell apart. He's off to a good start. You actually don't hear this very often. He said he scored better than he played. It's usually, boy, I hit it really well and couldn't get a putt to sink.
That's the way it's been for him for the last really 18, 20 months or so. But he did come out the gate really well last week at Pebble Beach, and it seemed like maybe this could be the week he turned things around, and then kind of fell off from there. Didn't play as great in the second round, played mediocre in the third round, mediocre in the fourth round. I mean, he made the cut. He got through to Sunday. That was great, but he didn't play very well after the first round. So the thing for me today will be, can he continue what he's been doing? He's going to finish this round once they get it going, and then he's going to have to start the second round immediately and play through. So I guess the question mark is, can you put together 3 rounds out of 4 that are pretty good instead of just 1? And if you can do that, usually that gives you a chance to win the golf tournament. So it's been quite a while since Spieth's won, and last year was his worst season as a professional. So this is a crossroads season for him. He's got to really make some ground up, or otherwise he's going to go backward in the world golf ranking really quickly like he has already this season.
All right, let's wrap it up here with Ryan Ballagy, GolfNewsNet.com. Tiger Woods, I was surprised he actually has played in this tournament 11 times. This is his 12th time. Has never won there at Riviera. He doesn't like the course. I didn't realize until recently, you know, when he started going back, he's played there so often. Last time out, I hoped that he made the cut. He did. Struggled through the first 3 days, but then finished up with a 5-under on Sunday to get to double digits. What are you expecting from Tiger this week?
I really don't know. I mean, we have such a limited sample for him from this year. He had a great final round at Torrey Pines when he was clearly out of contention, but he jolted up the leaderboard on a difficult golf course. So that was a positive, but the rest of the week wasn't that great. But he did progress. He did get better pretty much every facet of the game through all four rounds that he played in San Diego. So I'm expecting him to kind of start at the baseline for maybe Saturday and try to work his way into form from Sunday and then get better from there. I know he doesn't like Riviera, which is the great irony of him hosting this tournament now in perpetuity, that he just does not play this golf course well at all.
Right.
But he does like this golf course. He's just got to be able to figure it out. So for him, it's got to be able to keep the ball in play. That's the big thing.
Right.
You can't hit it all over the place or you're going to suffer big numbers. And he's got to be able to putt the ball pretty well. He did that pretty well on Sunday at Torrey Pines, so that it is possible that he could play pretty well this week.
Ryan Ballinger, GolfNewsNet.com. I appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the golf this weekend.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. Back after this, Ronnie Rance, former Texas Louisiana leaguer. Ronnie Rance, after this, talking Cajuns and Longhorns, 103.7 The Game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a fired up Friday morning sports chat. Brody A. Miller. Brody the Great. We need a walk-up song for Brody the Great, Cody. All right. We'll get a walk-up song for that. He posted all the LSU walk-up songs yesterday. Let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline and bring in the CEO president of the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Him and Ben McDonald will be at the Teague tonight calling Cajuns and Longhorns. It's Ronnie Rance. Ronnie, happy baseball season. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Just a little correction there.
Uh-oh.
Actually, Dan McDonald's going to be doing the play-by-play.
Okay.
Ben's doing LSU ULM tonight. Yeah.
Okay. That was a switch. I saw it the other way
around. It was like a typo on one of the releases.
Got it. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. First of all, how did I not know this? I affectionately call it the Latex League, but it was the Texas Louisiana League where I started my career. I'm going to send you my baseball card that Tim Leger found. There it is. You're a Texas Louisiana League legend. I was the broadcaster for the Barracudas.
Yeah.
How am I finding that out in like 2018 from Josh Booty? How did I not know that?
That's funny. And the legend, I think I spent about 5 weeks in Texas Louisiana League, so I don't know about that. But
right.
Tyler Wildcatters and the Alexandria Aces.
There you go.
Alexandria's where I went to high school, so of course that was kind of cool.
Right.
But the Tyler Wildcatters, Dry County.
Right.
And the Rose Capitol of the South. That's all I got for you on Tyler.
I got all excited about passing Earl Campbell's high school, right?
There you go.
Did you go to the same high school? No, you went to Alexander. Okay.
Right.
All right, so let's talk. You're a pitcher. I think we're probably up towards about 640 days since Gunnar Leger has towed the rubber, so to speak. What are you expecting tonight from him?
Well, the reports I've heard on him is that he's looked good, but might be a little different than what people remember. Supposedly, the velocity might be a little bit more, the command might be a little bit less. I think the command is really what I'm going to look to see the most out of Gunnar Leger. I expect he's going to be pumped up. His velocity is probably going to be a little high
right.
because he hasn't pitched in 2 years and it's open at night. But that's not his game, right? His game is that he just spots the ball and he's got tremendous command. I mean, you think back to a couple of years ago in his whole career, his numbers were just ridiculous because he could throw it wherever he wanted. So that's what'll tell me where he's at physically and health-wise and can he be the Leger of the past, because they need him to be. They don't have much experience on the mound.
And so we're going to get Brandon Young on Saturday and already mm-hmm. going kind of Johnny Holstaff on Sunday. To me, that means, I don't know if they're dealing with injuries, there are some youngsters, maybe Roe wants to ease these guys in here, but to me, at least on the surface, it means somebody hasn't stepped up to take that Sunday role. How do you see that?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But that's not uncommon, though. I mean, look, it's in college baseball, because you're so limited on how much practice time you can have, how much, you know, scrimmages you can do. I mean, the NCAA's got some ridiculous rules when it comes to, they really handcuffs college baseball. You know, I mean, hey, you go out and you have your spring in October, you shut it down, you don't really know what your team's like until the end, you know, to the end of January, beginning of February. I mean, that's a long layoff. So, I think who you see in the starting rotation, particularly in a staff like this, I mean, this is the most inexperienced staff, you know, Tony Robichaud's ever had. And, you know, and they're putting a lot of eggs in that Gunnar Leje basket, so that he's going to be healthy and back, to his old self. Other than that, it is just a crapshoot to see who's going to step up, who's going to be consistent. So I don't know that you're going to really know what this Raging Cajun staff looks like and what people's defined roles are for maybe even a month, month and a half.
Well, see, that's usually the way it is in minor league baseball. That kind of plays out because you're playing every day.
Right.
But in college baseball, you know, you're lucky if you get five games in. And so how that kind of, that process sort of gets expedited, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but look, they've been spoiled. I mean, you know, Tony's been spoiled the last, what, 3 years or so. I mean, it's been pretty set. At least two of the three starters, you know, was set. And sometimes you had a change with a guy getting hurt or a guy falling out and the Tuesday starter jumping in. But that is not the case this year. This is just looking to see who can get hot, who can give me, you know, three out of four good outings, you know, every time they go out there.
We're talking to Ronnie Rantz. Him and Twitterless Dan McDonald will be on the call tonight on Cox TV. We got him a smartphone. We got him a smartphone. So he's you know.
It must be an old-time broadcaster Hall of Fame thing because – Lynn Rollins is the same way. Between the two of them, I think they have maybe like two flip phones, and you know, social media is not an option.
Right, that's it is what it is. All right, what are you expecting from the Longhorns? Right, I mean, it's going to be a lot of South Louisiana playing the Longhorns this year. Last year was UL playing Texas, and Texas came to Baton Rouge, and this year it's the opposite. Texas, I think, lost their shortstop, but Tony Robichaud is expecting that rotation to be pretty strong, and it certainly was last year.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Texas. The Raging Cajuns are trying to figure out the pitching. So is Texas. Texas has like double-digit freshman pitchers. They got like 20 guys on their staff. So they've got like 12 true freshman pitchers. They've got, you know, really one experience. The Saturday starter is the most experienced starter for Texas. Tonight's starter is a freshman who had one start a year ago and threw 30 innings and ERA over five. So the Longhorns on the mound are very much similar to the Raging Cajuns in that they are just trying to see who's going to step up, who's going to take the ball. They haven't even named a Sunday starter yet. But offensively, they returned six starters on offense. They've got a couple boppers. Their catcher, their DH. Or you know, home run guys. I think one had a lot. They don't return anybody who hit over 275 a year ago. So, you know, but they do have probably just a hair more experience coming from offensively. That was, you know, tearing the cover off the ball. Other than they did have a couple of long ball hitters, which is rare for Texas. They're mostly known for small ball. So. The loss of their shortstop, who was their second leading hitter a year ago and really the leader of their team when he hurt his knee a few weeks ago, that was huge. So Texas is scrambling a little bit, ranked anywhere from 14 in one poll to 25 in another. So I don't think anybody's quite figured out around the country how good they're going to be for a team that won the Big 12 a year ago and won the World Series.
Right. All right. Big chance for the Cajuns to get on the map this weekend against the Longhorns. We will see you at, I'm sure, will be a packed Teague. Hopefully the wet stuff gets out of the way so we can play a little baseball. Ronnie Rantz, give us a shout-out for the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. When's that weekend coming up?
Really excited. June 6th, 7th, and 8th up in Natchitoches a little earlier this year. A couple of leaders, Peyton Manning, Les Miles, Roger Cador. Those are some of the big names going into the Hall of Fame. You can go to lasportshall.com for info. We got a big Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame golf tournament in Southwest Louisiana, May 5th, 6th, our annual golf tournament. It'll be at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. So come join us. Go to lasportshall.com.
I'm going to start lobbying for Danny Broussard. Can I start that now?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well deserved. My brother's an brother and sister are STM alums, so I'm on board with that one.
All right, we're lobbying for Danny Broussard right now. Ronnie, we will see you at the TIG. I appreciate it, my friend. Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Is that legal? Can I do that? Is that illegal lobbying?
No, because it's not him. I mean,
right? He doesn't decide. Right.
Yeah.
It's the voters who decide.
Right. If there was
he may
one,
oversee the voting.
If this was like FIFA and there's one guy making all the decisions, then maybe we have...
Or Vince McMahon.
Right. That's a perfect example.
Right.
Like even Vince McMahon's kids have no say. Like he lets them be on TV, but...
Right. All right. We'll be back. All right. We went from the Cajuns and Longhorns. We'll talk LSU. Brody Miller. All right. We got to figure out a walk-up song for Brody Miller, Cody. All right. It's Brody the Great. Back after this. 103.7 The Game. All right. We're off to a good start. What a show. Sometimes the stuff just comes to you, right? Well, we got baseball, golf, basketball. Awesome stuff. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a fired up Friday morning sports chat. All right. All right. Turn up the music, Cody, so he's got to hear it. He printed out all the walk-up songs. So he's the greatest. His middle name is Alexander. It's got to be Brody the Great. All right, let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. Let's ask him what it is. What, you know, I wanted Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go from Wham. Cody talked me into You're the Greatest. What would be your walk-up song there, superstar?
Definitely Pony by Genuine.
Nice, he was ready for that. I heard the Hop Stepper yesterday on the radio. That was great. I guarantee I haven't heard that song in a decade, and I heard it yesterday.
I'm just very happy that Zach Watson is not going with Thunder by Imagine Dragons again. I was only on the beat for a month last year, and I was losing my mind by the end of the season, having to hear that every single day. So I'm in a good mood looking at that.
Now, how often does that change? Is it allowed to change? Because someone goes, 0 for 3, and they got to change the song.
Yeah, I don't think they're set in stone by any means. Yeah, I think they definitely can change. So if Zach Watson's slumping and goes back to Thunder that will be a tough day for me.
Right. Also, just to let you know, I had no idea about walk-up songs when I started in baseball in 92. The third baseman wanted me to put in Baby Got Back. I had no idea what the song was. I said, okay.
You just dated yourself.
I absolutely. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm old. I'm not kidding you. You know, no doubt about that. Right. And I didn't even know what the song was at the time. I have to think of the song for the second baseman. You're Never Going to Get It was the second baseman. We knew when the second baseman was coming up because You're Never Going to Get It. Little change in the rotation. Do we think that Jaden Hill's going to go on Sunday instead of Eric Walker as they build Eric Walker up? Also because Pulmonary doesn't, he's going to need the bullpen tonight because they're going to limit Zach Hess, and they're worried about bullpen later on. Any chance, and I'll date myself as well, I hope you know the reference, that Jaden Hill could Wally Pip Eric Walker and stick in that Sunday spot?
Yes, I do know the Nets.
Yeah.
I think that's a complicated question. It's one that we're all kind of really curious of, and it's something I'm genuinely going to keep an eye on because I think Jaden Hill, might be, and I don't know this, because you combine all these factors of Eric Walker, it's been 2 years and all this, and then Jaden Hill, who really is he's a guy who turned down a lot of money to come to college. He's a top prospect. You wonder if maybe like in a vacuum, maybe Jaden Hill is a slightly better pitcher right now than Eric Walker. So there is a scenario I could totally see where, Jaden Hill and Lennon Marceau are just dominating so much that could happen, that maybe they force Pulmonary's hand. But at the end of the day, I really just think it really is a matter of, Pulmonary would rather have that veteran guy on a Sunday. He'd rather have, a guy who's been through the postseason, and also just, Eric Walker's a guy who's been through a lot for LSU, and I just think that would take that would be a huge, because so many of these decisions aren't made in vacuums. Like, to make the move to take Eric Walker out of the rotation permanently would be such a big, just significant move in terms of, with the fan base and with, a guy who, dedicated so much to LSU and missed a year. I think that's a really tough decision to make. But, there's going to be a lot of tough decisions have to be made this year because you have so many top pitchers. Jaden Hill and Cole Henry and Chase Costello are three guys who most likely will not be in the starting rotation by the time SEC plays begins, and they are all three probably would have been the second and third best starter on last year's team. So it's just, there's a lot of tough decisions to make, but it's really something to keep an eye on then.
Talking to Brody A. Miller, Times-Picayune and NOLA.com beat writer for the LSU Tigers. What else are you interested in seeing? I think he's, what did he say? He said Broussard is the most improved player, really has his confidence up from trying to be almost a little young, shy kid, stepping on eggshells to really have grown into himself.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of fun little just kind of mini storylines that are going to be fun to follow this year. Yeah, Brant Broussard's definitely one of them. You know, he's something that all preseason you've been hearing from Mineri and different staffers and people on the team that all just kind of been subtly hinting, like, yeah, Brant Broussard is a different guy this year. And one of the things I've heard is just that I think he genuinely, you know, Paul Mineri's talked about junior college guys take a little while to develop, but I think there's some actual truth to that because you hear some people just talk about how he was just so timid to do some basic things on the field that he knew how to do, but he just was kind of froze in the moment sometimes. And I think he's more comfortable this year, plus his thumb's healthy. So that's definitely one of the names to watch. And there are a lot of just fun ones that, you know, they're not necessarily big, juicy storylines, but, you know, we're going to be following that first base competition basically every day those first few weeks. I mean, Drew Bianco has the starting job right now, but Kay Beloso will get a chance on Saturday. You know, just what's going on in that dynamic? Is it going to be a, you know, maybe Kay Beloso gets chances against some righties thing? I'm not sure, but that's going to be something to follow. How does Bianco look? And then how does Saul Garza look? Because he's somebody who has been so hyped up from the second he stepped on campus. Paul Mineri talking about he might already be the three or four hitter as a true newcomer here from junior college, and he has this massive bat, but. But, you know, does he meet the hype? He got moved down to six. I don't think that's indicative of much, but he did get moved down a little bit. And just I want to see how good he really is. And then lastly, you know, the guy who'll be competing with that catcher when his knee's healthy, you know, Brock Mathis, that catcher spot, you know, Paul Mineri will tell you is one of the biggest weaknesses of last year's team, what really held them back. So, you know, Brock Mathis, you know, what's his bat look like? Is he a better fielder than the guys they had last year? They really like his personality. They like that he's somebody who can take charge, which is what Almanary wants from a catcher. But I'm curious how he looks on the field because we haven't really got much of a sense of that yet.
Talking to Brody A. Miller, Times-Picayune and NOLA.com beat writer for the LSU Tigers. A lot is expected of Todd Peterson. He really hasn't done this outside of, you know, a little bit at the end of last year.
No, you're absolutely right. It is kind of funny how he's like one of the few set in stone guys on this entire team, one of the few guys who just like his role is 100% clear and there's no debate about it. When, like you said, he only has closed about six or seven games. That might be like a stretch. So it is kind of odd. But I think the thing with Peterson is he always had the stuff. He just kind of needed to learn how to use it. And I think starting wasn't a great fit for him. So his stuff, I don't think, was ever really in doubt in the LSU staff's mind. So now if you know you can just concentrate that on just one inning, I don't see there's as many ways that could go wrong when you combine it with the fact that he obviously has the persona of being a closer. That much is clear. But you are right. I mean, that's another one to follow and another one I didn't mention that, you know, is he as secure as we all believe he is? We'll find out.
All right, not the most difficult schedule to begin with for LSU. You got ULM, Army, and Air Force. Southeastern's not bad. Northwestern State will put up a little fight. Then Bryant comes in, South Alabama, and Southern. But then they go to Texas to begin March, which was outstanding. I don't think you were here last year. Maybe you were. Was it towards the end of the year? When you have Ben McDonald and Roger Clemens in the same press box, that blows my mind. But nonetheless, I mean, we're really not going to know what LSU has. It's kind of an odd deal until Texas, right? Because they're playing teams that they're better than. So, I mean, you're really hoping for good out. This is like a no-win situation for them instead of a no-lose situation compared to what the Cajuns have, though they have an opportunity. They're expecting to play well over the next 2 weeks, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely, yeah. I mean, LSU's the favorite in just about every one of those games leading up to Texas. Yeah, I mean, there's some little, you know, just to play devil's advocate, there's some little challenges, you know, like Northwestern State, the team that made the regional last year. Southeastern's always pretty good, and they're at Northwestern State. So, I mean, those are some challenges, you know, you'll have. This weekend's game shouldn't be too challenging, especially when you add in the fact that these just Army and Air Force are cold weather teams, so they can't even really practice outdoor most of the preseason. But yeah, I mean, everything leading up to Texas is pretty much more about, I would imagine, getting the team ready, figuring out which arms you like, which rotations you like, and just, and just kind of preparing. So by the time March 1st comes, Texas is your first real challenge. But even Texas, I would say, none of it really matters until SEC play starts. Everything is about just making sure this team is ready by SEC play. They'll have California as well come to the box, but it's all about they want to dominate the SEC.
All right, it is Brody A. Miller. We'll have him on all year long talking LSU baseball. Are you going to keep up the tradition of the chili dog count?
I do not think. Maybe I'll find a new tradition I can build. How about that?
Well, you, I mean, are you from Cincinnati? Are you a Skyline Cincinnati guy? I saw that, the Skyline chili.
All of my family is from Cincinnati, so I was raised on Skyline. Yep.
All right. I got it. So basically you're saying it just doesn't cut it, the chili on the hot dog. And the
Not a chance. It's a whole different ballgame. I'm not even going to compare this.
I got it. I see what you're doing there. I appreciate it, my friend. We'll see you at the box.
Take care. Thank you.
All right, Brody A. Miller, TimesPicayune, NOLA.com. All right, we'll talk Texas Longhorns and Danny Davis from the Austin Statements next. 103.7 The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
With a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Reaching out with both hands, but gotta feel the kick inside.
We're all fired up on a Friday morning sports chat. It is opening day for college baseball. LSU taking on ULM. We'll have that right here, pregame show. 6:30. First pitch, 7 o'clock-ish. But here in town, it's the Cajuns hosting the Longhorns. Huge opportunity for UL to kind of get on the map against the Big 12. Let's go out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. We brought him on last year, and we bring him on again this year. He's appreciate his time from the Austin Statesman. It is Danny Davis. Danny, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? I'm sure it's pretty exciting down there with opening day. We have to wait another week for that buzz, but I'm sure fans that are making the trip to Lafayette are pretty excited.
Are you coming?
I am not. Oh. I have my wife has a big event this weekend, so I'm staying home for
that. All right. Priorities. We get that. Did you tell her how good of food there is here in Lafayette? Did you tell her that?
I did, but judging by my gut, I think you'd rather I stay home and have a couple salads.
I got it. All right. Well, I was talking about the issues that the Cajuns have in their pitching staff, not ready to announce a Sunday starter because I don't think anybody has stepped up to take it. What's going on with the Texas rotation? We hear that has a bunch of freshmen. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, the draft hit the Longhorns pretty hard last year. They're probably their ace, Nolan Kingham, and probably their best number two, Chase Sugar, got taken in the 12th round. Then, you know, the bullpen kind of got decimated. Their top three arms are all in the minor leagues. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. Blake Henley is their most experienced arm. You'll see him on Saturday. They decided to go with Bryce Elder tonight, who has one start on his career as a sophomore right-hander. Only started once, and that was an emergency start as a they needed someone to throw to Oklahoma last minute. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions. Coy Cobb's going to be their guy on Sunday. He's a freshman. So you're going to see a lot of freshman arms, maybe a lot of situations where, you know, the guy only goes three or four innings, probably with the exception of Blair, and then they turn to their bullpen, see what they have there. So probably their rotation you see this weekend is not what you're going to see in Big 12 play, unless these three guys really step up. But it's going to be interesting to see kind of how things go throughout the season.
All right, we're talking to Danny Davis from the Austin Statesman. Who's taking over at short?
It looks like they're playing Bryce Wiggin, a freshman that they're really high on. Obviously, David Hamilton, they prefer to have him out there, but the Scooter got him, and that's an unfortunate incident for their defense. But, you know, they kind of went with Bryce. They're going to go with Bryce because they kind of like Mason Hippo's versatility and the positions that he can play, and they'd rather Bryce just focus on one position. And so, you know, he's a freshman with a lot of upside, and we'll see see how he does, because that is a very big question, seeing how they fill that hole.
What are expectations this year for the Texas Longhorns?
I think at Texas, it's they're expected to go back to Omaha. That's expectations every year, but obviously there's a lot of holes in this team. Cody Clemens obviously isn't around anymore. The pitchers I already mentioned, David Hamilton's injuries. But, you know, they do also have a lot of talent returning. I think they have six guys when you take Hamilton out of the equation. They still have six guys at 200 at-bats last year. So, I mean, offensively, they have experience. Brian Henley was all-conference last year, so they have at least one experienced arm. It's going to be how these freshmen and young guys who weren't relied upon last year step up. So we'll see. I mean, they're kind of being downplayed a little bit. I'm sure being picked to finish fourth in the conference you won last year is going to fire up a lot of these guys. And they're kind of low-ranked in the national polls. But this team last year that went to Omaha was not expected to do much, and they got hot at the right time and caught fire in the postseason. So we'll see if this team can kind of match that. Because you could argue this team this year has more expectations than the one last year that went to Omaha.
Yeah, that was the thing. Outside of the Cajun series, they sort of went in the tank in the first 2 months of the season. What turned it around?
There was a lot of – last year was just a weird year. I mean, obviously, they started off poor, 9-9 at some point. I mean, they also played some good teams early on. Unfortunately, Augie, their longtime coach, a lot of these kids played for, passed away in March, and that was kind of an inspirational point. It happened right before the first conference series of the year. And then, just some of the players just played a lot better than we expected them to. Someone like Cody Clemens came on. No one was expecting that from him last year, and he just kind of took the reins and led them. So, I mean, it's going to need to be the same thing this year. Some of these kids that we're maybe not expecting to be all-conference or maybe even all-American, they're going to need to step up and catch fire, and sometimes it's the right things happen at the right time, and you just get hot when you get hot and you pick up a couple wins at Texas Tech or some of the other series that they won, and all of a sudden you have a lot of confidence and you're playing and feeling like world beaters.
Any Clemens left? He's only got about 15 children.
Cody was the last one. Okay. So I don't know if we've seen Roger as much as we have at the ballpark, but Cody will be missed for sure.
All right. Does Texas baseball travel well, like Texas football probably does?
I don't know how many people will be there this weekend, but obviously, Louisiana's not too far away from home. If you can get a chance to meet a gentleman named Scott Wilson, he hasn't missed a game road or away in forever. He travels to all of them, and he has his little crew of Longhorn fans. I mean, you'll see some orange there. I hear it's going to be a pretty big crowd there, so I don't know how many seats are available to the Longhorns, but I'm sure they've managed to get some tickets.
Well, it's a great atmosphere. They'll be impressed. Once the game starts, it may be a little animosity, but boy, when it's done, before it happens and after it happens, it's all hospitality. So they will be fed well, and they will show off to you what you will be eating this weekend. Is what's going to happen.
Yeah, just don't take too many pictures because that'll just make me jealous.
Yeah, you will be. All right, Danny Davis for the Austin Statesman. I appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much. Enjoy the baseball from Austin this weekend.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, Danny Davis, Austin Statesman. All right. So they got issues with their pitching rotation. They got issues with the shortstop. We'll see. All right. Again, they were the big – is that what he said, Big 12 champs, Cody? And ended up in Omaha last year. All right, again, I mean, let's go back last year because they beat the Cajuns. And it kind of went downhill. We can do that quickly. It kind of went downhill from there, right? They took two out of three. And let's be honest, they're probably a little bit fortunate in that, right? Dylan Moore blow one, right? They should have won. Should have won game two. And the Cajuns came away with a win in game three. It could have been two out of three. But then, LSU takes two out of three. They took three out of four from Northwestern in an odd deal. They lost two out of three. Oh, they played four games against Stanford? What's going on here? Lots of games. All right, then they lost three out of four to Stanford. Then they lost two at Arkansas, and they started to turn it around with a sweep of Kansas. And so, you know, they got off to a bad start last year. All right. They got off to a really bad start, and we'll see after the Cajuns game. So we'll see if the Cajuns can, you know, it is all about, you know, it's sad to say, it's all about Gunnar Leje setting the tone and see if the bats can come around. All right, the big thing that Tony Robichaux has been talking about, on-base percentage and slugging. So that means that the Cajuns can't be going station to station. They got to go first to third, maybe first to home. They can't take three hits to get one run. All right, you can't go walk, base hit, and then one base hit, and then all of a sudden you just have one run in and the runner's on first and second. Someone's got to get to third base. All right, we'll all be waiting for the double steal, the double squeeze, which by accident Texas actually defended last year. The way you defend that is you throw it home. You have to give up the runner at first base, and the only way to defend it is actually throw home. You won't, most likely won't get the runner coming home, but you will prevent the second runner from coming home. Or, you know, you throw hard to first base, but most of the time that just doesn't happen out of human nature. The pitcher puts his head down and lobs a ball over to first base, and by that time the second run's coming home. All right? We don't even know if they know they defended it right. They just did it. All right, let's take a timeout. Let's switch gears, all right? Let's talk some basketball, shall we? Cajuns looking for a little revenge. ULM coming in on Saturday. We'll talk to our buddy Nick White, the voice of the Warhawks, on Acadiana Sports Station 107. The game. All right. Rolling on. We'll talk to Mark Zeno, looking at the LSU-Georgia ball game at 8:32. We'll find out who's going to the barbecue. No, the parade. And we got parades. Keep on saying barbecue. Who's going to be at the Mardi Gras parades? Those are underway, right? New Iberia was last week. Those are already underway. But first, let's talk a little Raging Cajuns basketball, shall we? Big win over Georgia State. Not able to take that momentum into the week because they had the whole week off. So now they're licking their chops, finally taking on ULM on Saturday. Let's bring in our boy Nick White, the voice of the Warhawks. I will say before we get into basketball talk, happy college baseball season. Nicholas, how are you?
Yeah, thank you. Down in Baton Rouge right now.
There you go.
A pretty good team the Warhawks are taking on tonight. Number one team in the land, LSU. And I'm not doing baseball for the whole season, but I will be doing tonight and Sunday. So looking forward to that. And then I'll head over to Lafayette tomorrow for a little hoops.
It worked out perfectly. A little double dipping for you there. That's outstanding. You get a little action in the box. You get a little action in the Cajun Dome, and that's outstanding. All right, let's talk about this first ball game where ULM hung on. What had a 21 point lead? Was it 22? Cajuns make it a one possession game. Couldn't quite get the ball back, and ULM a win and move on with 4 points. Really, I thought the matchup that was the difference in the game was Marcus Stroman versus the sophomore guard, Ertl. Actually, neither one of them could contain the other. Ertl picking up his fourth foul, 7 minutes to go or so, and the Cajuns just couldn't get him out of the ballgame.
Yeah, and you know, we'll watch these guys match up again tomorrow and see what they bring to the table. You know, that was such a big win for ULM because every win at this time of year means cliche, but it was so true in that one because you had just come off of that terrible Georgia road swing where you lose at the buzzer legitimately to Georgia Southern, then you lose at the buzzer non-legitimately against DeMarcus Simons and Georgia State. And so to come back and beat, you know, an awfully tough matchup in the Cajuns for that ball game, you know, was really huge at that point in the season because I really felt that the year could go away from you if you drop that ball game, and it didn't. And you know, they've had, this league is so balanced, Dave. You've seen it, and every night you don't know what to expect, who's going to bring it. I mean, Little Rock knocks off UTA last night, so it's just crazy. But those two guys matching up will be fun to see tomorrow in the Cajun Dome for sure. Ertl has been spectacular at times. He's been He's been you know, down a few times this year, but whenever he's good, along with obviously Deshaun Smith, gives the Warhawks a great chance to win.
Talking to Nick White, the voice of the ULM Warhawks, talk about the transfer from Wichita State because he's been outstanding.
Yeah, and you know, last week, you know, the interesting thing, he dropped 36 Wednesday night against Georgia State, which was huge, needed that, and then came back and followed it up with 38 against Georgia Southern on Friday night. And then, you know, nobody in the media, and I don't even know how many people on his team knew what he was dealing with. He kind of kept it to himself, dealing with the loss of his brother who was killed Tuesday night.
Oh, my God.
Tuesday. And, yeah, and so I get him post-game, and I'm the first interview that he's got. And, you know, he kind of – I can't even remember how exactly I asked it, but, you know, what was your motivation? He looked like he had an extra gear in both those games, and he played every second of the game on Friday, and then he kind of dropped that news. And, I mean, you're doing a live interview, Dave. You know what it's like, and it's kind of where do you go from there? And but he handled it like a true professional, and you can certainly tell he was playing in the memory and honor of his brother. And now you can kind of understand why he's awfully talented, but he had that extra motivation as to why he had such a big ball game. But he's huge, and the difference in those two games was he didn't just jack up the 3-point shot. He drove, and if you look at his free throw numbers, that'll tell you that element of his game. If he can keep that going, it's going to mean really good things for this ULM basketball team moving forward, because nobody can stop him. He's just so quick. You'll see him tomorrow night. He's got that quick first step. If he gets that mismatch, gets a big guy on him, watch out. He's going to blow right by him, or he's going to get fouled and go to the line, and he's the best free throw shooter in the league. So we'll take that matchup, and hopefully he can keep it up tomorrow night.
All right, talking to Nick White, the voice of ULM. All right, so – I mean, what happens if ULM doesn't get out to a 21-point lead, which actually, you know, three out of the last four games has happened. You know, I don't know where the defensive performance came from the Cajuns last week, but it did. And do you think ULM needs to do that again, or can they go tit-for-tat with the Cajuns?
I think they can go. I mean, they kind of did that last week with both the Georgia schools. So, look, whatever it takes to get one, I mean, there's not a gimme in this league. And it's as good as I've seen it. You know, I've been in the league 9 years now, and this is my ninth year doing games for ULM, and I've never seen the league, you know, top to bottom, 1 through 12, this balanced. And there's no league that's safe, and you can never feel comfortable until it's triple zeros on the clock. But I certainly think getting out to a good start would be beneficial. You know, the Cajun Dome has the reputation to be one of the more hostile environments in the league to have to go into and try to win a ball game. And you got the fans on the court, and they like to get after you. So we'll find out, you know, how mentally tough these guys are, and if they can withstand that and try to get out to a big lead would be certainly big. But don't worry, the Cajuns will get back in the ball game with their outstanding players.
All right. I usually don't look at this, and we're talking to Nick White, the voice of the ULM Warhawks. I don't usually look at this until, you know, in a couple of weeks, but I looked at it last week. Do you realize how many rounds there are in the Sun Belt Conference tournament?
Yes.
How ridiculous. I mean, what is going on here? First of all, they don't have all the teams. Second of all, the two top seeds don't get a double bye now. They get a triple bye. And if you're the fifth and sixth seed, they get a double bye. I mean, this is ridiculous.
No, the three and four.
Oh, the three and four seed. I'm sorry. Yes, the three and four seed get a double bye. Well, I mean, can we go to a video game and figure out how to do this? It can't be that difficult.
Well, hey, Dave, wait till next year. Wait till we go to pods next year, and you know, the last 2 weeks of the season, you don't know who you're playing, and
right,
and you can't improve your seeding past that pod. I mean, people don't understand. Like, I don't think anybody in the league likes this as far as it goes. Well, the presidents liked it because they spent the money for the consultant, and that's why it got voted through. The ADs didn't want it. The coaches didn't want it. So wait till next year whenever, you know, at this time of year, I know that, you know, next to last week of the season, we got the Carolina schools coming to Fant Ewing, and then the last week of the season, we're going to the Arkansas swing. We won't know that next year. And, you know, it's not like LSU where we're chartering. You know, nobody in the league's really doing that, sans a few trips here and there.
And, you know, people don't understand how hard it is to book, you know, 25 flights. Of, you know, hey, Saturday night, games are over, and, oh, by the way, you got to go turn around and play on Thursday. I mean,
right.
It's going to be a nightmare. And that could happen, you know, with, if you're a 9 or a 10 seed, you could have to do that as well. Play on Saturday and have to turn around and, you know, book a flight to App State or wherever, or Coastal Carolina. So, in next year, the tournament's going to be even trickier, too, where the only thing that's going to be in New Orleans will be the semifinals and the finals. It'll move to the Smoothie King Center. But, yeah, I didn't come up with it, Dave. They don't pay me that amount of money. But last year was nice. Remember, it just everybody went and you knew what was going on. But I guess the presidents didn't want every team going to the conference tournament. So here we are. We'll figure it out. And look, I think there are seven teams. This league is balanced, but I think there are seven teams that are going to win the tournament, Cajuns included. But it's all about seeding. I mean, if you don't get one of those byes, it's going to be so tough to go and win four games in 4 days down in New Orleans with the level of competition the way it is. Certainly, if you get that one or two seed, you're in a really good spot where you'll have to win two games to try to do it. But I think it's imperative to win this tournament this year, you've got to be at least a four seed because it's going to be tough to win four straight.
Right. But a lot of these conferences do it. I got to go through the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC. I bet you Duke's got to win four ball games, right?
Yeah, I think they might get to the quarterfinal. You know, every conference, I mean, it doesn't mean we're one big league, even though we shouldn't be. they don't ask me to be on the committee to go and vouch for the teams, and so that's your meal ticket. I mean, look at the Cajuns last year. Unbelievable team. Should have been in the tournament. But late and a stumble in the tournament, and boom, you're going to the NIT, and then you got to go on the road in the NIT. It's just sad. It really is.
Well, that's a whole mid-major thing, and you know, unfortunately, Gant got sick and Stove got hurt. So, I mean, here's the thing about that. Bob Marlin says that every year. So, you know, just because they played really well last year, he says that every year. The only way we're going to the NCAA tournament is winning in March. That's it.
So it's the truth.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I mean, and that's why the pod system, to me, is even more ridiculous because they say it's to improve the seeding of the team that gets in there. But, I mean, and I've ran on forever for it, Dave. It's going to be a nightmare. The operations guys are going to have logistical nightmares next year. And if you're a 9 or a 10 seed this year, you're going to have some tough work to do to try to flip this thing around. Hey, it's even worse on the women's side. You close out on Saturday, and then you got to turn around. If you're a 9 or a 10, you got to play on Monday.
Right.
You got to turn around and play on Monday on the road, and then if you win, you got to get to New Orleans to play on Wednesday. So, but those teams, I mean, they do that because they know those teams probably aren't going to make it around. So
right.
That's why it's set up the way it is.
All right. I got you all fired up on a Friday morning sports show.
I did, man.
Nick White, enjoy the box and enjoy all the ball games this weekend. You're double dipping.
Yeah, it should be fun. It's the second crossover that we have in our sports year. Football into basketball is the first, and then basketball into baseball. It's a good time of year.
Talk to you later, my friend.
See you, buddy.
All right, Nick White, voice of the ULM Warhawks. All right, I mean, we've talked Cajuns baseball, LSU baseball, Cajuns basketball. Now we're going to talk LSU basketball. Mark Zinno going to preview Georgia-LSU after this. 103.7, the game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, part of Friday Morning Sports Chat. See who will be at the parade this weekend. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so. All right, let's see here. We've talked about Matt Kuchar and golf and Tiger, and we didn't get to Phil, but Jordan Spieth had a good day. We talked to Ronnie Rance about the Cajuns. We talked to Brody Miller about LSU baseball. We talked to Danny Davis about Texas baseball. We talked to Nick White about ULM basketball. Let's talk a little LSU and Georgia basketball. He's on the Fan, too, in Atlanta. It is Mark Zinno. How are you, my friend?
Dave, always good to talk to you, brother. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. All right. It has been a heck of a week for Georgia and the Bulldogs basketball program. After Tom Crean backed the bus up, rolled it over his team, then rolled it back forward again, they get the best recruit in the country. So let's back it up. And what happened to Tom Crean just, you know, saying, this is not my fault, the players stink?
Well, look, I mean, in fairness, the way it came out, I don't think is what he was intending to tell everybody.
No, it probably was not. Yeah, I'm probably sure that's the case.
I don't think many players, many coaches would literally, you know, just flat out say that their players stink and it's their fault for keeping him in the way that he did. But Kareem did apologize the very next day at practice with the media and, you know, kind of just clarified what he was trying to talk about. And he, you know, he referenced the fact that he always tells his players he can't let frustration set in, and that's what had happened. And, you know, Kareem's a very fiery, competitive guy. If you need a reference, if you don't know about Tom Kareem, remember, he's a brother-in-law of both John and Jim Harbaugh. So imagine what Christmas is like in that household with the three of them sitting there yelling at each other. But, you know, I mean, I said it as a frame of reference because they kind of think and act the same way, and Kareem doesn't deal well with losing. I mean, you're looking at a team right now in Georgia that is 1-10 in SEC play, and their one win is against a lone winless team in Vanderbilt. So they haven't exactly lived up to expectations. You know, I mean, Mark Fox last year, you know, there's a point, you know, he had this team on the talk possibly being a bubble team in a tournament, and down the stretch they faltered. But, you know, I mean, when we were at this point last year, the talk was that could Georgia sneak into the tournament with a couple more wins, and clearly that's not going to happen this year. So to say the team has regressed, I wouldn't exactly use those words because they weren't very good last year, but they certainly haven't gotten better and certainly haven't improved. And so Kareem gets to this place where he's just frustrated and can't really express it the right way, and it comes out bad. And then the roller coaster, of course, they sign Anthony Edwards, you know, possibly could be the top recruit in the nation a couple of days later, who decides to stay home in Spurns, Kentucky, and all of a sudden everyone's got a smile on their face. So, I mean, lo and behold, there's a roller coaster ride that is UGA basketball these days, but it certainly the last week hasn't been without, you know, it's been eventful to say the least.
I'll be the first to say I don't know the day-to-day of Tom Crean or Georgia basketball, but this guy was beloved in Indiana. He ends up losing to my Orange because they couldn't figure out the zone, as if they're the first team to ever do that. And then, you know, and the Syracuse team went to the Final Four. He's been in a spiral since. It's unbelievable how fast Tom Crean falls, because he was smart. You know, he was Dwayne Wade's coach at Marquette. He got Marquette up there. He takes Indiana. They're in the Sweet 16. They can't figure out the Syracuse zone, and he stinks as a coach. What happened?
I was nonplussed about the hire of Tom Crean. I didn't think it was the worst move out there, but I wasn't exactly over the moon about it. I really felt like he had a resume where he constantly came up short. You know, I mean, the best example I come up with, it was almost like Andy Reid in football. You know, really, sure, really, really good coach, but consistently not getting you over the hump to where you need to go. And that's not a knock on Andy Reid, because he is a really, really good coach, but you get the point. I mean, it's just, the idea is to be able to get to Final Fours and be a consistently competitive team. And I don't know that Tom Crean ever really had that. He had some highs at Indiana, but he also had some lows. You know, I mean, this is a team that lost to teams at Indiana that they shouldn't have. So I think the hope is that he can restore some consistency to UGA basketball and start to bring a level of play where they're going to be one of the better teams in the SEC. You know, I mean, look, the SEC, as you know, is a conference that's going to put probably on average about four or five teams in the tournament every single year.
Right.
And to that end, you want to be in that conversation routinely if you're not winning it. Look, we understand there's Kentucky, we understand there's Florida, and LSU understands the same thing, that those are the two kind of small hills you have to climb if you want to punch your ticket automatically. But beyond that, you know, there's an open conversation for teams to do it, and look at what Tennessee has done this year. So from that standpoint, I think Georgia was hoping that Tom Crean is going to do that. Now, look, getting Anthony Edwards is a big deal, but I told everybody this, Dave, very simply, you know, even the sun shines on the dogs, you know what, every now and then. It's not getting the one recruit. It's getting the next one. Because if Anthony Edwards doesn't get any help, a year in, six, you know, it's halfway through next season, if the team stinks, the kid's going to go, I don't want to do this. This is what I stayed home for. This is awful. Right. I'd rather go someplace else and play and win and at least, you know, enhance my stature with NBA prospects going forward. So it's not about him getting Anthony Edwards, which is great. I don't want to underscore it, but you have to get somebody else. You have to get other guys to back it up. Now, Edwards says he's trying to get some of his AAU buddies. And, oh, by the way, you know, the AAU circuit is a place where Mark Fox never went, probably to his own detriment. But, you know, he said he's going to be able to get some of his AAU buddies to come to Georgia in the coming years. And if that works, great. But then again, who knows how long Anthony Edwards, if he's as good as promised, is going to be in college, period, to begin with.
Mark Zinno from the Fan Tune Atlanta previewing Georgia and LSU. It was just a couple of years ago, you know, LSU, I mean, it's not that far away with Johnny Jones at the end after Ben Simmons left and nobody was interested. He's going 17-0. straight losses. So where Georgia is now is where LSU was a couple of years ago. It can turn around quickly. But where does Georgia basketball rank? Again, you know, Tubby Smith was there, and again, you know, Syracuse beat him on a couple of last second shots. I always bring that. It seems I always come back to Syracuse, but that's what I know about Georgia basketball. Where does Georgia basketball rank? I mean, I think they came up to the dome with Dominique Wilkins 1 year. They came up to the dome and played in the NCAA tournament a long time ago. But where does, you know, Georgia baseball or Georgia basketball rank? Because like LSU basketball a couple of years ago, and I'm not kidding, all right? LSU basketball is obviously behind LSU football, is behind LSU baseball, is behind LSU softball, is behind gymnastics, and the golf team won a national championship. They were at best the sixth team in LSU. In popularity and achievement, where does Georgia basketball rank in Athens?
Well, you'd love it to be right behind the football program, but that's just not the case at this point in time. I mean, they have been struggling to, you know, to find consistency enough that people are going to go out to Stegman Coliseum and watch them. You know, and I think that's something that Tom Crean was always cognizant of at the beginning. Like, he wants to get people in that building to get excited about Georgia basketball. I mean, heck, you know, I mean, in the Atlanta circles, Georgia Tech basketball is more exciting than Georgia basketball. So to that end, you know, I think that Georgia women's basketball probably has a little bit more push than Georgia men's basketball does at this point in time. You know, that the women's team is probably more of a consistent tournament appearance team than the men's has been over the last decade. So to that end, yeah, look, they're struggling. It's nowhere near Georgia football. But I will say this much. Georgia could have the dubious distinction of, if Anthony Edwards ends up being the, you know, the rival's top recruit, of being the first school to ever have the number one player assigned in basketball and in football in the same year. They get Nolan Smith this year in December when he commits, and if it ends up being that Anthony Edwards is the top basketball recruit, first time it's ever happened. Last time it was close was in 2007 for USC with O.J. Mayo in basketball and Joe McKnight in football. So, you know, they had the number one player in basketball and the number two player in football and Joe McKnight. That would be a nice little feather in Georgia's cap. And certainly for the basketball program, but still, this is a basketball program that has a long way to go to endear itself to fans on a regular basis, where you're going to start to get excited for post-football life after, you know, college is over and the NFL is over. Once the calendar turns to January and February, how many people are going to be locked in on Georgia basketball? I think they've got a long way to go.
All right, I'll skip Georgia football. What do you think, and we'll quickly wrap it up here with Mark Zeno. What do you think of the complete turnover outside of the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons? They got a new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator, and a new special teams guy. And again, it's you know, just over 2 years since they were leading 28-3.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, it happens.
Sorry. By the way, good pass interference call. We'll talk about that later.
Right, anyway.
Nonetheless, I had to get one back at you.
Okay.
You know how it goes.
All right.
But
yeah.
Look, here's the thing. Quinn, you know, Dan Quinn, I like him a lot. I think he's a hell of a coach. I really, really do like him. But you have to remember, in the grand scheme of things, if this is such a critical year for him, that if they don't get back to the postseason, now you're looking at a trajectory, right? 8-8 first year, Super Bowl second year, and then down year, down year, down year. Like three in a row. The slide just goes that way. Now, the masses are going to ignore the fact that they had massive injuries last year that led to the season that they had. But in reality, the big picture is they'll have three defending years after going to the Super Bowl if they can't get back to the playoffs this year. And when you fire your entire coaching staff and you make that kind of turnover, there's only one consistent in a sea of change, and that's Dan Quinn. And now the target is squarely on his back, and especially since he's calling defensive plays now, and he's taking on that responsibility. If this defense, and oh, by the way, that's what he was brought here to fix. Remember, when he took over the Falcons, this is a team that was ranked dead last in the league in defense. Now, they had stuck it to the top 10 the year they went to the playoffs, not this previous year, but
sure,
2 years ago when
right.
they beat the Rams and then lost to the Eagles. They had snuck in the top 10 statistically. But here's the thing. This defense has done nothing consistent in back-to-back years, whether it's turnovers, whether it's sacks, whether it's, you know, just being able to stop the run. They have done nothing consistently year in and year out. There's nothing that this defense really has a hallmark that you say, look, that's a good run-stopping defense. That's a defense that creates a lot of turnovers. That's a defense that gets to the quarterback. You can't say that about it. And so from that standpoint, Dan Quinn has not done the one thing that he's brought here to do, and that's change the defense for the better. You see nothing about those Seattle defenses that manifests itself in these Atlanta defenses. With him taking over the play calling, if they don't get this thing turned around and this defense doesn't start to play better, ultimately it will lead to Dan Quinn losing his job at some point in the future.
Yeah, very well could be. Just to let you know, as much as I was disappointed in that pass interference call that only prevented me from getting to the Super Bowl and spending a week in Atlanta, I'm a Patriots fan, so...
Oh, well, there's that. Good for you. Listen, to this point, I never understand how people hate the Patriots. I just don't get it.
Well, I get it.
I mean, I'm a native New Yorker. I'm supposed to hate everything Boston, but I don't get it. I mean, listen, when I watch them play, it's like watching Picasso. It's like watching Mozart. I mean, sometimes these are just masterpieces, bro.
It very well can be. All right, I will see you in L.A. next week. Safe travels, my friend.
Absolutely, brother. Same to you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mark. All right, Mark Zeno. Yeah, it doesn't sound like he's from Atlanta. Did he? Some of it is. Again, I mean, they got a little bit lucky, let's be honest. As well as they played, they got a little bit lucky, right? Not once, but twice. But I'll take it, that's for sure. All right.
Also, the voice of the Atlanta Legends, Mark Zeno.
That's right. We've got to ask him about the AAF.
The AAF.
Right? Yeah. That didn't go very well last week.
Oh, well, no, but that's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
Right. Maybe they'll go get Colin Kaepernick for $20 million. We didn't even get into that.
I like how you didn't have to fish for it at all, and he still tried with the comeback thing. And
right.
He's like, seem petty now.
Right. Well, I knew you knew that was going to happen.
Right, of course.
I was going to skip the Georgia football and not mention the 28-3, but...
I'm surprised you didn't just pick up the phone. Hey, welcome to Sports Chat, Mark, 28-3.
Right. Not 25 or 6-4, but 28 before the 3 o'clock hour. Something like that. 28 minutes to go in the third hour of Sports Chat. That's what it could have been. That's what it could have been. All right, we will find... I'm getting a call right now in the middle of my show.
That happened to Raymond yesterday, too. He just said the same thing. He's like, why is my phone ringing in the middle of the
show? From a salesman. All right, who obviously does not know what I'm doing.
Oops
is right. All right. We'll be back. All right, we'll find out who's going to the parade this weekend. Wrap it up on a Fired Up Friday Morning Sports Chat on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7. The Game. All right. So at this point in time, in about 33 hours, we'll all be passed out, Cody. I'll be Ubering to LaBerge. Is that the deal? All right, so will Cody make it to 9:30 tomorrow? We didn't even do a Shut Up Dave poll question today. Would that have been a good one, Cody? Will you make it to 9:30?
I'll make it to 9:30.
Are you going to go golf for 4 hours? Go hit balls for 4 hours? Then you won't.
We're thinking for like maybe a couple of hours at the most.
Right.
And then
do you have reservations already on that?
Yeah, I think my brother took care of that, I think.
All right.
And we did early in the day, obviously, so it was a little easier to find.
Okay. All right.
6 p.m. is a lot harder to find the spot than at like 10:30 a.m.
Correct. Especially post-LSU baseball.
Right.
And now they got a little beer and alcohol section out at the box.
Woo!
Right? They're getting closer. Right? They're getting closer.
Baby steps.
A couple baby steps, right? They're going to have a couple of shoots. You know what they call it?
That's what they call it, the football.
Right.
At Tiger Stadium.
Not spelled Cody Shoots.
No.
Close.
Should be.
Right. That's an apostrophe S. Or actually, it's not apostrophe S. Multiple shoots.
Right. Plural.
Right. All right. Want to thank Ryan Ballinger, golfnewsnet.com. Ronnie Rance, he'll be coming to town to call Cajuns baseball with Twitterless Dan McDonald. Brody A. Miller, Brody the Great. Talking LSU baseball. Danny Davis talking Longhorns baseball. Nick White talking ULM basketball. They're actually taking on LSU. I probably could ask him questions about that. And Mark Zeno, the fan, too. All right. Talking Georgia basketball. Did a great job of that. And a little Falcons talk in there as well. All right, Cody. You know who's not going to be at the parade this weekend? It's Cody Shoots. He's getting married. The parade's coming to him, as it turns out. All right, quickly, let's go. Who's going to be at the parade? We're running out of time. My bad.
It's time to find out who's going to the parade.
Smart puts his head down. Now we'll give it up to Naz Reid. Naz, right wing three, rattled home good. Big time 3-point shot. The Tigers, 3-for-3 for downtown, and Naz Reid ties it up.
All right, Naz Reid, big second half in the Tigers' victory over Kentucky. They play at Georgia tomorrow. Pregame show 4:30 right here on 1:37 The Game. All right, he can be there. Who else is going to be there?
LSU going to have the ball going the length of the floor. Quickly to Skylar Mays. Mays working across. 3 seconds. Mays driving. Mays goes up. Layup off the glass. Tapped in by Cabell Bigby-Williams. Did they count the basket? Did they count the basket?
They counted the basket. Cabell Bigby-Williams can be there. Why is that, Cody?
The heart and blood of winners.
You know, that hasn't just gotten old ever. That's never going to get old. I'm going to take that with me wherever I go, if I go anywhere. All right. That should be, you know what? That should be part of the best man toast tomorrow. You know why Cody's getting married? The heart and blood of winners.
The heart and blood of winners.
All right, who else is going to be there?
We know, we think we've got a very, very good team, and I think we're able to prove that tonight. We've grown as the season's gone along. You know, just like Kentucky has, they've got an excellent team, and we've gotten better, and I think tonight kind of confirmed that for a lot of folks.
All right, Will Wade will be there. What does Will Wade have, Cody?
The heart and blood of winners.
That's right. All right. Will Wade will be at the parade. All right, who else is going to be there?
To tell you the truth, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys to go through what they've been through. And to be able to come out and be the team of that quality, I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job.
Good for Alvin Gentry. He's had to put up with this for 3 weeks now, and none of it is his fault. Who else is going to be there, Cody?
Losing to Keenan was tough. We faced some adversity and came from ahead, as a friend of mine likes to say.
Little shout out for Bob Marlin. We appreciate it, Bob. Good luck against ULM this week. Who else is going to be there?
And Raina's a nice player. She's a really fun player to watch. She can steal a base. She can play great defense. And then she can hit the long ball. So we're really happy for her. She's gotten off to a great start. You know, she redshirted all last year. And we really worked on her swing. And I thought the biggest thing, you know, she come back. She struck out, I think, her first at bat and then come back and hit the home run.
All right, Jerry Glasgow and his softball team hosting the 33rd annual Louisiana Classics. We're going to try to get out there for the first game before baseball. All right, who else, Cody?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you spend all fall with them, and you get a sense and a feel for what you're seeing. When you've been doing something for 31 years like I have, you don't know it all, but the markers that you usually use to look at is what you try to go by.
All right, Coach Robichaux is going to be at the parade. One more.
The opening day is unlike every other day of the year, Dave. I was telling somebody yesterday, I think I get more nervous and uptight about opening day than I do coaching for a national championship.
Paul Maneri will be there, all right? We got to go. We got the rap game with RP3 next. The Jim Rome Show, the Jordy Holberg Show, Bumper to Bumper Sports, the 4A Game of the Week, Westgate Northside 97-7 tonight, and LSU Baseball 6:30 pregame show right here. Have a great weekend. Congrats, Cody. We'll be back on Monday. Cody on the honeymoon. 103.7 The Game.